Good evening.
Welcome to Shoot and Dream at Time. One thing is Jake Wyman has incredible effort to bring us together to learn Torah every single night of the week. Jake is just unbelievable. Special thank you also to Mitch Green for his tireless efforts to take care of all the technical work. His devotion is second to none. We're going to dedicate tonight's Shul L'Zecher L'Ilui Nishmas Manish Yitzchok Ben Aryeh. Tonight is we're getting close. We are Parshas Vayikra. We're getting very close to Purim. Purim is around the corner, and the Mirat Hashem, the next time we learn will be after Purim. So I'd like to speak tonight a little bit about the Yom Tov of Purim. One of the most fascinating things about Purim is on Purim, we in the Megillah, we have the Aseres B'nei Haman. There's no person that has not seen the Megillah and has not been taken note of the unusual nature of the Megillah, where the Aseres B'nei Haman are giant size. And it's really unusual. It's unusual to have in the Kisei Kodesh something that really stands out in such an unusual way. And in fact, some people are familiar with something what is called the Gros Megillah. The Gros holds that you're not allowed to make any letter in the Megillah larger than ordinary. Therefore, so the Gros says that we should keep the size of the Aseres B'nei Haman the regular standard size, but that will then force us to readjust all the letters of the Megillah, all the columns. The standard of the Megillah will be the Aseres B'nei Haman, and all of the other columns of the Megillah will have to be exactly that size of 11 lines. 11 lines. So if the Aseres B'nei Haman are 11 lines, and we're not going to readjust, make them different than anything else, that will demand, dictate that the entire Megillah shall have 11 lines. And it's very strange. It's really very bizarre that the whole Megillah has to be follow the pattern of the Aseres B'nei Haman. So here, look what's going on over here. Either the Megillah is a regular full-size Megillah, and that forces us to dedicate one whole column with giant-sized letters for the Aseres B'nei Haman, or we keep the size of the Aseres B'nei Haman regular, but it forces us to readjust the whole Megillah, a very long Megillah, many, many columns, and every column is only exactly 11 lines. Why are the Aseres B'nei Haman so important that they should stand out or basically control the entire Megillah? So to answer this question, let me ask another question. Question once posed this question to a few people, and I asked them, please tell me, what do you think is the most significant part of the Megillah? What is the most significant portion of the Megillah? Which pasuk stands out to you as, oh, this is what the Megillah is all about? So one person said to me, the pasuk, Balayla Hahu Nodedosh Naasa Melech. The beginning of, I think, the sixth parak, it was on that night, the Melech Achashverosh, his sleep was disturbed. He was wondering, why is it? Why did Esther invite Haman to the party? What's going on? One party to another party. Someone else mentioned to me the most important part of the Megillah is where it says, La Yehudim Hoysa Oira Simcha V'Sasim. Someone else mentioned that the most important part of the Megillah is where it says, like Yislu Es Haman. They hung up Haman. They executed Haman. Another person said the pasuk Lech Kinois Es Kol HaYehudim Hanimtzim b'Shushan, go and gather all of the Jews in Shushan with Tzumu and everyone should come together. Achbus, with Tzumu Olai. Indeed, there are so many psukim in the Megillah that are fundamental, are very fundamental and very important. However, I would like to suggest to you something a little bit different, and recommend that the most
important part of the Megillah. The pasuk of the Megillah that really, which is the essence of the Megillah, to the degree where everything else is just window dressing, is the pasuk at towards the end, where Esther said to Achashverosh. Achashverosh says in Shushan Adira, the Jews killed X number of people, and what else would you like, Esther? And Esther said, if it's good, if we can have another day to fight, and if you can take the Aseres B'nei Haman and hang them up on the tree in public for everyone to see. The Aseres B'nei Haman Yislu al Ha'etz. We have to remember, Haman was executed on Pesach. The story of Purim took place on Pesach. Haman was executed on Pesach, on the second day Pesach. Some, in fact, have a custom to have a meal, a special Seudas Esther, on the second day of Pesach. And some people, and but the war took place almost 11 months later, on the 13th day of Adar, which is Tainis Esther, this coming Thursday. And it was on that day that the Aseres B'nei Haman were executed. And then Esther asked Achashverosh, I mean, I'm sorry, Achashverosh said to Esther, what else would you like? And Esther asked Achashverosh if he could hang up the Aseres B'nei Haman in public on the 14th day. So we have to realize the 14th day of Purim, of the day of Purim, which is the 14th day, which will be Amir Tashem on Sunday, it's not just the day when, as it says in the Megillah, Vinochu me'oyeveihem, when the Jewish people rested from their enemies. The 14th day of Adar was the day when the Aseres B'nei Haman were publicly displayed in public for everyone to see their bodies. Why? Why did Esther use her goodwill with Achashverosh to make a request that the Aseres B'nei Haman should be hung? Now, to put all of this together, we have to understand the following. We know that we have a principle, Chodesh Adar, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbim Besimcha. When Adar begins, we increase in joy. But the truth is that expression is only half of the whole expression. The whole expression begins, Kishem Shemishenichnas Av Mematim Besimcha, Kach Mishenichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. Just as it is that on the first day, on when Chodesh Av begins, we diminish our joy, so too, when Adar begins, we increase in joy. The joy of Adar is nothing more than to make up for the lack of joy that we have experienced, and this that we have diminished in Chodesh Av. Why? What's the correlation? Now, to answer all of these questions, the backdrop to the story of the Megillah are the Aseres B'nei Haman. We have to understand the history, the backdrop, what happened. After approximately 70 years, 52 years, 70 years, different ways to make the calculation from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Koresh gave the Jewish people permission to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And he told the Jews, he issued a proclamation that all of the Jews should go back. You can return to your holy land, to Eretz Yisrael, to Yerushalayim, and you can rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And I will give you a very nice large donation, and I will return to you some of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and you can now go back and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And many went. Not everyone, but a number of Jews took up courage on the offer. They went back. They began to rebuild. And then suddenly it says in Sefer Nehemiah, our enemies were very disturbed. And specifically, the 10 sons of Haman made a lot of trouble. They told Koresh that the Jews are rebelling against the government. And the Pasuk tells us that they issued what was called a sitna. A sitna is a letter of accusation that the Jews are rebelling. The one that was able to build up enough momentum and set out lies, distortions, misinformation to achieve this horrible sitna were none other than the Aseres B'nei Haman. And because of this letter of accusation, Koresh canceled. He issued a stop order. And the Jews were no longer permitted to continue to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. They had to come to a stop. And that is where the Megillah begins. The Megillah begins, Vayehi bimei Achashverosh. Koresh died. His son-in-law took over. His son-in-law Achashverosh took over. Wasn't son-in-law, but Achashverosh took over the Malchus, and the backdrop was he took over the Malchus not long after the letter of accusation that led the Sitna was issued, and there was a stop order issued to not build the Beis HaMikdash. And everything that happened from here on in was all part of a request by Esther and a movement to once again allow the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And through the entire story of Purim, with Mordechai, big son of Zeresh, Haman, Achashverosh, and Esther, it was a war. At the end, on the 13th day of Adar, and on this war, the Jews were able to execute the Aseres B'nei Haman, who issued the Sitna, who were the cause of the stop order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. When this happened, when this event happened, when they were executed and the world witnessed their execution, this now opened up the possibility for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. The joy of once again having a home for Hashem to rest His divine presence was a reality. And thus, the diminishment of joy that occurred in Chodesh Av was now restored in Chodesh Adar. Just like in Chodesh Av, we lost the Beis HaMikdash. Now in Chodesh Adar, when the Aseres B'nei Haman were eliminated, the people who were standing in the way, preventing the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash from happening, they were no longer. And now, once again, the momentum was building up to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. The possibility was real. And therefore, Mishenichnas Adar, Marbin Bisimcha, because the Aseres B'nei Haman will be eliminated and get against corresponding to the loss of the Beis HaMikdash that took place in Chodesh Av. And therefore, after they were killed, they were executed. Esther said to Achashverosh, there are going to be people out there in the world that are going to deny they were even killed. Who even knows that the Aseres B'nei Haman were killed? Who knows? People, they say a lot stranger lies than this. And therefore, Esther, she asked Achashverosh to hang them up. Let the world see. Let the whole world see that the Aseres B'nei Haman are dead. Our enemies have been eliminated. Specifically, the people who stood in the way from rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. This is what is important. The world has to see. And that's why she spent her goodwill with Achashverosh. It's not just we should have another day to fight and to eliminate more wicked people, but the world has to know that the people who stood in the way of us making for Hashem and Makom on this world are no longer here. And now Hashem's divine presence can once again come down to this world. That is Purim. Purim is the day when the world recognizes, we recognize, the world recognizes, the world sees the miracle of what has happened for the Jewish people, and that the Beis HaMikdash will once again be rebuilt. Mordechai Yotza Melefnei HaMelech B'Levush Malchus T'Chelis B'Chor. Much of the miracle of Purim is wrapped up in a recognition of Hashem's presence. Mordechai went out B'Levush Malchus T'Chelis B'Chor V'Yateres Zohov Gidoyla, a golden crown. Chazal tell us that this golden crown alludes to the tefillin. And in fact, when we say in the bracha and the pasuk La Yehudim Maisa Oira Simcha V'Sasan Vikar, Chazal tell us what is the word Vikar refer to? It refers to the tefillin. What do we know about the tefillin? V'rohu Kol Amei Haaretz Kishem Hashem Nikra Alecha V'Yaru Minecha. The whole world sees the glory of Hashem resting upon the Jewish people. The tefillin is called, you know, tefillin is Lashon Rabban. It's the plural of tefillah. There is the tefillah that goes on the yad and the tefillah that goes on the head. And together they're called tefillin, but each one alone is called tefillah. The tefillin and each tefillah is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash is called a Beis Tefillah. Ki Beisi Beis Tefillah L'chol Ho'amim, for all of the nations of the world. Yud Dalid Adar Purim, it's not just the day when we rested from our enemies. It's the day when the Aseres B'nei Haman were publicly displayed to the world to bring an awareness in this world that the impediments and the enemies of the Jewish people who are holding us back from making the bayis, the tefillin of Hashem, from allowing it to rest in this world are no longer. And we can therefore proceed in bringing Hashem's divine presence to this world. So in summary, let us remember that the beginning of the Megillah begins with the Aseres B'nei Haman. The backdrop to the story of Purim is Sefer Nehemiah, when the Aseres B'nei Haman issued a sitna, a letter of accusation that the Jewish people are rebelling against the king of Persia. And that's where the Megillah begins. And there's a story in the Megillah about Vashti, and about Bigson Vaseresh, and about Esther and Mordechai, and a party, and Haman, and a whole story goes about, and at the end of the story, there's a day of war that was meant to occur on the 13th day of Adar, and Achashverosh said, I'm not going to cancel the war, but I'll tell you what, if you want to defend yourself, I give you permission to defend yourself, and they did. And in their defense, they executed the Aseres B'nei Haman. And then Esther says, could we please tomorrow, on the 14th day, show the world, display their bodies for the world to see that there will be a Beis HaMikdash, that their letter of accusation has been canceled because they are no longer among the living. And the answer was yes. And that revelation is a source of great pride, of great inspiration, that Hashem is going to once again bring his divine presence to this world. Every year when we come to Purim, there's another notch, another level of the world in one way or another is seeing another level, another notch, closer to the goal of the ultimate geula, of where the world acknowledges that their attempts to prevent us from bringing geula and making this place a home for Hashem that is coming closer, and their attempts to prevent it have been smashed. And those who prevent us from doing so will be eliminated, have been eliminated, or will be eliminated. And the Gula will come very, very soon in our days. I want to thank you all for listening. And the next show will be Monday night. So I want to wish you in the meantime a wonderful, first a wonderful Shabbos, a new Chumash, a new beginning, Vayikra, and especially special Siyata Dishmaya. It's a very holy day Purim. And may HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring every single person, come learn Torah every night of the week. May Hashem bring you very special bracha. Yimale Hashem kol mishalos libchem l'toyva. Hashem should give you your heart's desire for bracha. Everyone has needs. Everyone has desires. Purim is the day kol ha'poyshet yad noisimlo. Whatever you ask, you get. Hashem is a special day of tefillah, siyata deshmaya, especially people who cherish Torah HaKadosha to learn every night, to Josh, to Jake Wyman, and to Mitch Green, and all of the very choshev rabbanim, especially Mayevsky, necessary. I owe him a big hakaras hatov, it's only because of him. He introduced me to Jake. Only very good course. I tell you, a wonderful experience to learn, to prepare, to learn with you. And it should be a time of great divine favor and Ratzon and bracha for one and for all. Thank you very, very much for listening. Have a wonderful night, a wonderful week, and bracha v'hatzlacha. Good night.